Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show and the Friday edition. It is great to have you with us and on board. And today, as always on a Friday, it is great to be sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Ooh, I could use a trip to the beverage supermarket right now, and so could you. Go to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, our good friends located on Reagan Street in Sunbury. And believe me, the beverage supermarket has everything you want, and it's not just the beverage part. They have more than just that. It is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And also, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia Roots 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always visit them online at lenapesolar.com. Big day coming up today. We'll take a look at tomorrow's Penn State and Temple game that will be at Beaver Stadium. Kevin's going to give us a quick preview, and I bet we hear from Ken from Milton today with his weekly high school football picks. We're looking forward to that. And Joe Susan, doing a great job as the head football coach at Bucknell, will join us live later today as well. But before we get to all that and your calls at 1-800-795-9565, time for Above the Noise. Here is Dan Patrick.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Congratulations! Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service updates, including general repairs and that all-important regular maintenance. If a factory recall is the issue, Sunbury Motors Service Department can handle them all, from all the major manufacturers like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. All warranty service and repair is done with the utmost care because they treat your vehicle just like it's their own. Whether you need an oil change, transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair, Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment, or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury has all your football tailgating supplies. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And don't forget plenty of beer. Choose from a huge selection of imports and microbrews. Check out their incredible deals. They have everything that comes together to make a great beverage shoppable store. Then there's the fresh roasted peanuts daily and the help yourself pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the cooler weather. And don't forget the beer.
Fogarty Homes continues to give you hot savings with incentives that will make you and your wallet happy. Fogarty Homes also saves you time with their guaranteed 4-month build time. And Fogarty Homes saves you stress with their turnkey building program. When it comes to saving you stress, time, and money, Fogarty Homes offers the most. Stop in and let them show you how. You'll be glad you did. Call Fogarty Homes at 523-3203 or find them on the web at fogartyhomes.com.
We'll be right back.
All right. The show is off to a rousing start today. We're going to be talking with Keith Pompey in the next half hour about Temple football. Joe Susan will be on the show after that. And we will talk to Joe Susan about Bucknell's game coming up this weekend. All right. And Kevin sent me a post on Facebook. Let's see what we got here.
I didn't send you a post on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday. Kevin Herd Day and WOKOK.
That's right.
It's only fair since Thursdays are Steve Jones Day.
That's right. Equal opportunity.
Okay. See this little X up here? Delete.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll delete your administrative abilities.
Took care of that. Delete. Oh, fail. Glad we got rid of that one. Boy. Well, let's go to the junk mail. See where we are there. Oh, we got like three messages from here in junk mail. Oh, let's see. Don't bother reading. Hit the little X, and suddenly there's peace of mind. All right.
Wow.
There you go. Sounds cold, doesn't it?
Yeah, frozen.
Come on.
Frozen cold. Like the door was left open.
Come on.
So what time? Now listen, I know a lot of people have the same question. I got to know, what time do you normally get at Beaver Stadium for home games?
Let's see. We're on at 2.
Right. This week you'd be on at 2.
Yeah.
You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, 1:55.
Okay. All right. Now, do they know, do the parking people know you by car now, or do you have a little sign that you hang out the window or an arrow that points going, yo, radio guy here, gotta get through.
They know it's me, but
And is it true they call the elevator that goes up to the suites and the press level and everything, is it true that that blackout period about 15 minutes before the game starts is the Steve Jones needs to get up the elevator time period?
No, we have time. Jack and I have time. We always have time. Usually, we have to wait a while, and usually we try to go to the second elevator only because there's so much a crowd around the first elevator. So
I can understand a golf cart to take you from one broadcast spot to the other, but the limo was a little bit way too much for Blue White Day.
Nope, we walk. I'll answer the questions. All right, instead of fooling around. I get to the stadium it's a 2:00 airtime, between 1 and 1:15. I'll walk in. I give them the pregame show that I've already taped with Bill O'Brien, and then I have to tape a 90-second open, usually. Sometimes it's 2 minutes if it's like a 3:38 kickoff. I think tomorrow's 3:35, so it'll be a 90-second open. Okay, if it's 3:31, it's a 1-minute open. So I tape a 90-second open that they take in Jefferson City. I'll be done with that by about 1:20. If the opposing team wants to interview me for their broadcast, I will do that, and then I will head to the tailgate about 1:45, 1:50. I'll usually leave the box like 1:45 to 1:50, and I'll arrive 1 or 2 minutes before 2:00, and then we start at 2.
Well, you guys do a great job on that taping, because I never realized that it was recorded either.
Yeah, the open I do?
Yeah, I didn't know
that. Yeah, that's taped. And the reason it's taped is that's the stuff that's playing that allows Jack and me to walk from the Jordan Center back.
Well, again, you know, I can understand the golf cart, but I just thought the limo was a little too extreme for Blue White Day. I mean, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and the fact that it was the fact that it was a Hummer limo, just it was a little gaudy, I thought.
Well, apologize about your car. But that's what we do. There's something I record on a Wednesday called Chesapeake Achievers.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's recorded on a Wednesday. They email me the copy, and I record it here in the Sunbury Motors studio. And then I send it back out. So that plays, and then the pregame with Bill plays, including that open. So the pregame ends up being the from Chesapeake Energy in three parts. Open that I tape at 115, 120. Then the two segments with Bill at usually are, you know, 245 to 3.5 minutes each segment.
Do you still do that? I'm sorry. Do you still do that history feature?
No, and that's what the Chesapeake Achievers replaced. We felt after doing that for, I think, 8 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, that we had really exhausted every game you can think of.
We did everything, though.
We did everything from the entire 82 season. We did that, I think we did that in 2002.
Yeah, I remember that. I couldn't tell you what year you did it, but I remember you doing it.
And then we did the 25th anniversary of the 86 season and every game of that one. And then we did greatest running backs. We did greatest Beaver Stadium moments for the 50th year of Beaver Stadium. I mean, and after a while, you're looking around saying, okay, you know, I mean, when you've done literally 8 seasons worth of games.
you're right. It's probably time for a change.
Yeah. You know, I mean, at that, you know, so they, you know, they make that decision. I don't. They do ask me, hey, what do you think of? I said, you know, I mean, I do get that part of it.
I did like the historic one. I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know, it ran its course, but it was really, really cool to hear some of those calls.
Yeah, see, the problem is, it's the problem that we have with that is this. Take, for example, a lot of the Fran Fischer calls. Let's take John Cappelletti's Heisman Trophy year. There are no calls for that year. The tapes weren't saved.
Okay? Well, yeah.
You start getting pigeonholed into the years from 1976 on. Because at least TCS, when they started doing television, we could get a hold of the television calls which are in the Penn State archives. Because, I mean, I'm the one that did this. I put them together, so I can tell you the story. Jeff Tarman writes the scripts. I put it together after that. Then it's up to me to find the play-by-play calls, find the source, the whole thing. And it gets a little more difficult now because some of those, for fans that would not understand this, but anybody who's in television knows what I'm talking about. Some of those things were on 3/4-inch tapes.
Yeah.
Which are huge beta tapes. Okay. There aren't any beta machines left anymore.
Right.
We have nothing. I have nothing to play that on so I can translate it over. Now, I know at archives at the Paterno Library, they have been transform it from that to DVDs, which has helped. But see, we only have from 76 on. So, example, you know, the great 68-69 teams, there are highlight films, but they're all narrated with highlights. There are no play-by-play calls. The 73 Heisman season of John Cappelletti. Again, same story where it's all highlights and narration. There aren't play-by-play calls that go with it. And look, I'll be honest with you. When we did the retrospective on Joe Paterno in the spring, I think, when did we do it? Blue White Weekend?
I think it was Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day we did it, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I worked really hard to get the John Cappelletti speech. I mean, I had to work very hard to get, I mean, a good, clean copy of it to use. There are two slices of tape that it took me a lot of work to get, and one was the John Cappelletti speech for the Heisman. And the other one that took me a lot of work to get was Kerry Collins after the Rose Bowl in 94 in the locker room. And I was able to get both slices because I just, you know, and look, I really was dogged about getting them because I just thought it was important. It's one of those things where if they're not in there, obviously you, the listener, are like, hey, I don't know. I wouldn't have known. It wasn't in there. But I'm the one that wrote it and put it together, so I knew. Okay. That one I wrote and produced the whole thing of, the entire half hour of it. It was a half hour, right? Or was it an hour?
It was an hour.
It was an hour. Well, I wrote the whole hour, and I produced the whole hour and the whole thing, right? But anything before 1976, you can't get a play-by-play cut of. And even then, it's sparing as to which what you have and what you don't have based on what TCS had given to archives. And it isn't really until you hit the early 80s that you can get that stuff. So it's difficult. So, you know, we're talking about how it went eight, nine years, how it, quote, ran its course, because, in other words, we're doing spotlighting great running backs. Well, we can spotlight Larry Johnson, Kajana Carter, Evan Royster, Kurt Warner, but you can't, but we couldn't spotlight, for example, Lenny Moore, John Cappelletti, Bob Campbell, Lydell Mitchell, Franco Harris, using play-by-play cuts. We spotlighted them, but in narration and with a comment from somebody. But we missed out, because there just are not archives of the play-by-play moments of them playing. So, for example, you know, we have Evan Royster's run, for example, where he breaks Kurt Warner's record. We have Kurt Warner setting the record at Syracuse, the Carrier Dome, in terms of the, you know, or the 83-yard run that Kajana Carter made in the Rose Bowl. We have that. And so we have all that. But we don't have any play-by-play of John Cappelletti, Franco Harris, Lydell Mitchell, Bob Campbell, Charlie Pittman, Roger Kaufman, Lenny Moore. We don't have any of that. So that's what made, see, that you start running out of, and then you start talking about the greatest games at Beaver Stadium, the 50-year thing. Now you start, are we repeating any from other things that we've done before? See the quandary you get into? So that's sure. Where they came up with the Chesapeake wanted to sponsor the student-athlete thing, and that's great. So it's I taped that. So all that plays. When you hear the Bill O'Brien pregame show and Penn State's at home, that's when Jack and I are walking from the Jordan Ticket Center up to the booth. And then, you know, and because Jack hasn't been to the booth yet. I have, so I've been through security. So in other words, my briefcase is up there and the whole thing. It's just me now just walking in. But he still has to be checked, because he has his bag, and his bag hasn't gone through inspection yet. So we got to do that, get to the elevator, get up there. And usually 10 or 15 minutes before we do that. And then in that 10 or 15 minutes, Comm Radio, the student station, they have me on their pregame show every week. And I do that as a favor to them, because they're great kids and they're working hard. So actually, during that 15 minutes, I'll spend 5 minutes with them before we actually go back on the air. So, I mean, that's my routine.
That's a busy game day.
Yeah, but I want to help them out. You know, I remember when I was a student, I would have wanted that help.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Ah, yes. Another day where the news couldn't end soon enough for me, because I've been listening for the last 7 minutes to some guy rant about his fantasy team.
Well, who's in the studio with you today?
In the studio today, we have Ron Musselman, Nate Mink, StateCollege.com, and joining us on the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565 is Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer, covers Temple on a regular basis. And let's get to Keith. Keith, Kevin Newsom, former Nittany Lion, played a little, they stuck him at wide receiver a bit last week. I guess he's back at quarterback now. Is he making the trip? Is he a part of this Temple mix right now?
He'll make the trip. Steve Adazio, the head coach at Temple, was asked yesterday, is Kevin going to play wide out? And he said no. The thing is, Kevin approached Steve after the Maryland game, and he said that he wanted to play wide out or safety. You know, he wants to get on the field and play. And Steve, you know, had him play there last Wednesday, played wide out, took a couple snaps. But they feel that at this particular time that his best position is at quarterback. He wants him to learn all the offensive plays at quarterback and see what he can do there before they make a position switch.
Keith, an interesting guy that we know a lot about because of his career at BC, but don't know a lot about what his situation is at Temple, is Montel Harris. What is his status for the game? And if he's available, what can he bring to the table?
Well, you know, Montel is going to play. I think he probably could have played against Maryland, but they just want him to be 100%. As far as what he'll bring, no one knows. I mean, you know, Montel is a good running back. You know, he's coming off of a knee injury. He messed up his hamstring during training camp. And that offensive line is kind of shaky. The thing is, like, I wasn't surprised that Bernard Pierce left last year's running back because, you know, they were losing four starters on the O-line. So it's one of those things where, you know, statistically, you know, no one thought that if Bernard would have stayed that he would have a career year. He would take a step back. So with that being said, with Montel coming off of the injuries, no one knows exactly what he's going to do.
With Chris Coyer at quarterback and Matt Brown at really a scat back spot, does that play well for Steve Addazio, considering that Sean Boyle is the only one back on the offensive line, and he's been moved from tackle to center?
Well, and that's the thing. Sean Boyle isn't, I mean, well, you know, Sean Boyle moved from tackle to center, but, you know, The only really veteran offensive lineman they have is a guy by the name of Martin Wallace. Like, Sean Boyle has actually been injured the last two seasons.
Yep.
I mean, so he didn't even play. But, no, I think that this year coming in, before they had Montel, you know, before Montel came into the equation, you know, they were thinking about going a more – wide-open spread offense. You know, a lot of short passes, you know, some four-receiver sets. We haven't seen it yet. Part of the problem is the receivers haven't looked good. And secondly, I think against Villanova and Maryland, they really didn't want to show a lot of the offense that they had.
Because they've been 75% run, 25% pass so far.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what it was is, you know, Villanova, you know, yeah, Villanova won the national championship for, you know, a 1AA 2 years ago. But at the same time, they're a small 1AA team. So Temple knew that it could just have larger linemen. They knew that they have better players. So they knew that they could just run against that team. And they didn't want to show anything. Against Maryland, I think they wanted to do the same thing, and the problem is that they just looked awful in the first half. I mean, they had, what, four turnovers. They were giving up long plays. And then they got just to the point where he was just out there calling plays, man. Like, whatever's going to work is going to work, you know. But I do think that they went into that Maryland game thinking, like, okay, if we run the ball effectively, we won't have to air it out, you know, and – they just didn't have a lot of that offense that I think we'll see against Penn State and for the Maryland game.
It's an interesting defense because I noticed that their corners have three sacks. Give me an idea of the aggressiveness with which they play on defense and what do they try to take away?
Yeah, they play. They're extremely aggressive. Now, a lot of those sacks, I'm just going to talk about the Maryland game.
You're right. You know, that's the only one that matters.
Yeah. Well, and what they did against Maryland is they knew that Maryland had a freshman quarterback, this guy Perry Hills from Pittsburgh. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to pressure him because they realized that he struggled mightily against William and Mary. So what they did is they did a lot of corner blitzes, you know. They did a lot of things, but the problem was that they were so aggressive to whereas the defensive ends and the linebackers missed a lot of coverage things, like tight ends were rolling uncovered in the defensive backfield, and whereas the safety didn't pick up things quick enough, so they got burnt. They're extremely aggressive, but the one stat that sticks out to me with Temple's defense is they had 11 plays they've given up 11 plays of 21 or more yards, and a lot of them came on third down. You can't do that.
Hey, Keith, one area of concern for Penn State in the short season so far has been their secondary and their pass defense. You know, mm-hmm. Does Temple have any vertical threat that they can use to stretch the field that they just haven't shown yet? Or is Penn State going to be able to load up in the box and really focus in on Coyer and Brown and stopping the run?
That's a great question. Coming into the season, the guy that everyone was looking forward to see play was Deion Miller. He's a 6'5", 210-pound receiver. He's also their top returning receiver. But Deion's had, like, a viral infection, and he really hasn't played the first two games. They're saying there's a high expectations for him for this game. They have another guy by the name of C.J. Hammond, who can, you know, he does a lot of vertical routes, but he's been dropping a lot of balls. Now, right now, their two consistent receivers are the guys in the slot. One of them, his name is Jalen Fitzpatrick, who's listed as 5'11", but he's actually 5'8". He's a converted quarterback, right? He leads the team with four receptions. And then their second best receiver is a guy by the name of Ryan Alderman, who's a former walk-on. So, you know, now a lot of, again, Steve really didn't want to show a lot. You know, I'm expecting that they'll try to take advantage of, you know, Penn State's weakness, you know, which is the defensive backfield. But during training camp, man, it just hasn't looked good. I mean, you know, Deion, you know, he's always getting IVs. He's, you know, throwing up. He's not feeling good. And CJ, just hasn't stepped up to the plate. And when you have a converted quarterback and a former walk-on, you know, leading you in receptions, that's not good.
Hey Keith, just from what you're saying, I assume this Temple team's not as good as it's been the last couple of years, because the last couple of years have been fairly tight games, and I assume that Temple's just not as good as they've been the last couple of years.
No, they're not. Temple isn't. Now, the coaching staff, they have great coaches. You know, they when you think of, you know, for as let's say Kevin Newsom, he kind of flopped at Penn State. But when you hear that you have a quarterback of his, you know, stature in regards to, you know, being a four-star recruit coming in, and then you have Montel Harris coming in, you know, you think that this team is going to be very good. But at the same time, you can't lose, 22 seniors, and which were 13 of them were starters from last year's team, to be successful. And I kept telling people that, you know, this team, if it stayed in the MAC, would take a step back because it lost so much. You know, so the fact that they're going to the Big East in Philadelphia, there's a lot of buzz going on, but they lost too many people. I mean, and you know, they're counting Matt Brown. Like, they say, okay, we return 9 starters, and they're including Matt Brown. Yeah, Matt Brown started 2 games last year, but, you know, everyone in Pennsylvania knows that Bernard Pierce was the man.
Yeah, and
you know,
it's interesting you say that. What do you think that the feeling is at Temple coming up here? I mean, Penn State's not what Penn State, you know, has been in the past, given all the sanctions, all the things that have happened. What's the general feeling there in Philly? You know, around the Temple people you talk to, they think they got a chance. I mean, not that you never think you don't have a chance, but they think they have a chance to come up here and maybe sneaking one out. Or, I mean, I think people thought that, but then they got hammered by Maryland, and that kind of, like, knocked everybody back a little bit.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, I want to say, not per se the people at Temple, because they know, they look around and they look at this roster. And, of course, you know, Silas Red transferred. Yeah, Shawnee Kersee, whatever his deal was, he left, people like that. But they, you know, when you look at the roster right now, you see a lot of guys who basically were better players than most of the guys on this Temple roster. You understand?
Yeah.
So they kind of realize that, you know, we will have to play the perfect game to go up there and beat Penn State. Now, once the sanctions roll around, let's say 3-4 years from now, you know, then it's going to be like, okay, maybe we can smack Penn State around.
Yeah, but, I agree.
You know, I get the impression that the coach and staff, and even when I talk to Adazio, like, you know, you'll have conversations with him and, you know, just standing around, and he's saying, hey, this Penn State team is playing hard. It's playing hard. Now, again, they do think that they can win this game. I mean, they're approaching this thing as if they can win it. However, I get the sense that they'll have to do things completely different than they did the last two games. And Deion Miller is going to have to, you know, step up for the Owls to win.
Keith Pompey, Philadelphia Inquirer. Keith, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. Come back with more. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Red Street in Sunbury. Oh, it is the weekend. A stop at the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, is a must. And it's not just the beverages. They have so many other things there. Discover it. Go over there. Check it out. And also, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And Let It Be Solar Hotline's open at 1-800-795-9565. Next half hour, Joe Susan, the head football coach at Bucknell, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Keith Pompey, by the way, Philadelphia Inquirer, who's the beat writer for Temple Football, for joining us on the show. Joe Susan up next hour. Have Joe just after the 4 o'clock news. I know Kevin has put together a list of questions.
That's all right. I'll ask him tomorrow.
He loves talking to you.
He loves talking to Barty. He's going to be very disappointed to find out that Barty is not going to be on the sidelines this week.
No offense, but we all like talking to Barty.
And I can understand that. I enjoy talking to Barty.
Yeah?
Hey, can you get that for me?
Yeah. Well, we have a studio phone here. That's what I use for, like, certain interviews that we have along the way.
That's the studio phone that says, please shut Kevin's mic off now.
Hold on one second. Let me answer it. Hold on. Hello. Yeah. Hi, Raj. How are you? Yeah? Uh-huh. Cut him off?
High-quality program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I have plenty of material to carry the show, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And thus let him down. My career.
Let him down gently? Oh, no, just go for it? Okay, thanks. You're gone.
Thus endeth my career.
What? Was something wrong? Yeah, let's get to this date in sports history. It's a very important day in sports history.
Okay.
It was on this day in 1970. The NFL Monday Night Football made its debut on ABC. The game between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. The Browns won the game 31-21. That was the one where Howard Cosell got in trouble because he told everyone that Bill Nelson's knees were actually worse than Joe Namath's. Oh, that can't be.
He got worse over the years for Howard.
1971, the American League approved the move of the Washington Senators to Arlington, Texas, where they eventually became the Texas Rangers. And who was the manager of the Senators, who then became the first manager of the Texas Rangers?
I don't know.
Ted Williams. 1982, National Football League players began a 57-day strike. It was the first regular season walkout. You want to talk about disappointing. USA Today, it started like 2 weeks earlier because people, you know, love. You know, also, they're on strike. Like, they looked around. What do we do now? 2008, the New York Yankees played their last game at Yankee Stadium. The new Yankee Stadium opened across the street in 2009. Can you believe that?
2009?
Yeah. They've been in there 4 years now.
Doesn't seem like 4 years.
Well, they won the World Series in 2009 in the new place.
I'm well aware.
I know, but that's where it was. I mean, they've been in four seasons in there already.
I just didn't think it was four seasons.
Yeah, amazing. So, yeah. So there you are. That is this date in sports history. Insert sponsor here.
Out the lights. The party's over.
Dandy Don Meredith. Yes, indeed. First play-by-play guy for Monday Night Football was?
Keith Jackson.
Yes, it was, because they were trying to get Frank Gifford from CBS, and Frank was still under contract to CBS, doing what was then the NFL Today. And he was under contract. They couldn't get him.
And who took over?
Keith Jackson is then doing NBA basketball in Milwaukee and finds out from a reporter he's been replaced on Monday Night Football by Frank Gifford after the first season. Keith flies to New York to confront Rune Arledge. Rune Arledge was famous for saying, "I swear, I called you like 20 times. I called you 20 times. Jackson walks in, plops down 25 pink slips in front of him, messages. He goes, "Find yours."
My favorite Keith Jackson line still has to be, "Oh, there's one too many litters in BCS." That's my favorite.
So, absolutely. Now, who succeeded Frank Gifford?
On the NFL Today.
On the NFL Today, who succeeded Frank Gifford? Well, it's Jack Whitaker. And then it was eventually Brent Musburger.
Wow. I didn't know you'd think of Jack Whitaker first. I'm impressed. Again, I fail miserably.
You don't like waking up, do you?
I feel good right up until about 3 o'clock. Something strange happens.
Nothing strange about the job. Joe Susan's doing it. Bucknell, he's doing an outstanding job. We'll hear from him after the top of the hour.